Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
She's aware of my feelings toward her, but the truth is, she prefers Shakar.
Who?
The First Minister of Bajor. He's a leader, a hero, a man with great charisma.
I don't care if he's JFK. It's not the other guy you have to worry about. It's you.
Me?
That's right. I mean, for starters, you've got to lose this whole Nanook of the North thing.
I don't understand.
Well, I mean, you got about as much personality as an icicle. Cool is one thing, but you're frozen solid.
You think I have no emotions? Well, believe me, I do. I just don't always show them.
And therein lies the problem. Come with me.
Where to?
Look, Pally, you want to win the girl? We got to thaw you out a little bit. You know, turn up the heat. Get those emotions you claim to have bubbling to the surface. It's time to have some fun.
What does fun have to do with Major Kira?
I'll pretend I didn't hear that.
All right, so I think we've done all of our pre-show business, so that means we can continue on
show.
To the actual show.
I'm down with that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll start the show. Mm-hmm. It's Got Star Trek podcast. It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That is the name of the podcast program that people are listening to.
That's amazing.
It is indeed. It's very amazing. Thank you, Dan. Peculiar thing this week is that our release date, we release these episodes on Mondays, and it just so happens to fall on December 25th, which is Christmas.
I've heard that's a major holiday.
It is a major holiday in
some people.
In some parts of the Western sphere of influence.
A bit.
A bit.
Yeah, so
it's kind of a thing.
We aren't doing a Christmas episode per se, but I thought it useful to note that this is being recorded and released. This is being released on Christmas,
so it can't help but be a Christmas episode.
Well, we're going to include a few Christmas surprises.
Everything gets devoured by Christmas.
Whatever makes you happy.
We'll pop in a few Christmas surprises along the way as we discuss the main topic, which
Christmas
will be Star Trek: Deep Space Nine's. His Way, Season 6, Episode 20, His Way.
Hey, doll face.
That is the episode we will be discussing. But first, let's do some Christmas fun.
Yes. Christ-em-ups.
Then we'll have some Christ-em-ups. Yeah, let's do some Christ-em-ups. That's right.
That's unfortunate.
And then news-em-ups. News-em-ups. We got a voicemail. We got a bunch of stuff. So let's just get going. Okay.
Why?
So first, I thought...
Why?
I thought, hey, you know what?
Why?
How can we combine Star Trek and Christmas, two things that don't generally go together?
A what?
In the Star Trek universe. I mean, it's basically never mentioned.
That's true.
But just on the other side of the Star Trek universe, on our side of that universe, people do all sorts of crazy fun stuff, including making Star Trek Christmas parody songs.
It's time to have some fun.
It is. So I just picked a few of these. There's a million of them out there, and you should all check them out. But I'll play a few of these throughout the episode, starting with a little song by James Covenant. See if you can guess the title.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Something.
But the fire is so delightful.
Make it so.
And
yes.
Sense you know it to go.
Whoa.
Make it so.
Word.
Make it so. Make
well
it
done,
so.
Jesse.
Ma'am, it doesn't show signs.
That's pretty good,
stomach.
Jesse.
Thank you.
And I brought me some
this
tea.
This is silly,
Audrey,
but it charmed me.
The lights turn way down low. Make it so. Make it so. Make it so. When we finally kiss goodnight. How I hate going out in the storm. But if you...
Really?
Shut up, Wesley. All the way home, I'll be
warm.
Oh, the fire is slowly dying.
Dying.
Dear.
We're still goodbye, and
but as long as you love me, so make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Have the other people say it. Okay.
That's amazing.
That was silly. No. Very silly, but it was also amazing.
Yeah.
Again, that was by, who was that by? Make it so. That was by James Covenant.
How'd you know that?
Because it said so on the YouTube page. It's a pretty old one. I think that was from like 10 years ago. I'll have the links for all of these. We'll put the links for all of these in the show description. So.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means they can follow, if they go to the show description, either on the podcast player or on YouTube, they can click on the link and they can go see the YouTube video of these songs.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's just hypertext protocol. You're familiar
with whatever makes you happy.
You're familiar with hypertext something protocol, hypertext transfer protocol. Is that what HTTP stands for?
My thoughts exactly.
All right. I get it, Dan.
Anytime, Pally.
All right.
Anytime.
Well, we'll have a few more of those Christmas treats along the way.
Oh, it'll stop on my account.
Oh, yeah. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. No, we don't really have any news and ups this week other than saying...
A what?
You know, a lot of people are going to be celebrating on the day this podcast comes out. A lot of people, whether you're celebrating, not celebrating, it's all good. Have a good time.
It doesn't really matter.
You should have. We wish for people to have a good time each and every day of the year.
Every day is Christmas.
Yes, every day is Christmas. Isn't that a Monty Python song? Oh, no, that's Christmas in Heaven.
Yeah.
It's Christmas in Heaven. Yeah. Hip, 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 hooray.
You don't have to be an Einstein to clue into any of that.
Every single day. Yeah, you're right. In the song, it says it is Christmas Day.
And then they do some disco thing at the end.
It's Christmas.
That movie's
off the hook.
Yeah. Monty Python and the meaning of life. Mm-hmm. Christmas in Heaven. Mm-hmm. All right, we've gone off track a little bit.
Yeah.
So no news em ups, but we do have a voicemail em up that I wanted to play, and that is from Khaki from the Joy of Trek podcast. So let's hear
Bon Appetit.
What Khaki has to say.
Hi, Dan, Jesse, Patrick.
Hello.
This is Khaki from the Joy of Trek, a Star Trek podcast that, in the words of Dan, it's jacked up like a thing, man.
Wow.
I've really been enjoying your show since I was introduced to it. I love your friendship, and when I grow up, I want to be just as cool as the three of you.
Yeah.
Now, Patrick, in the last episode, you posed a really, really interesting question. You asked whether Q had planned to introduce the Borg from the start, or whether that was on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really, really great question, because looking back on his conduct, in particular with Picard and the crew of the Enterprise, I'm completely convinced that Q loves humanity in general and Picard in the specific. And that when he chooses to show up, it's to teach our heroes lessons that they really, really need. Because in retrospect, even though it cost some lives to encounter the Borg when they did, that did mean that Starfleet was able to prepare by the time that the Borg actually sort of showed up. Because at the time, like, they were already sort of encroaching on the neutral zone. You know, there was the foreshadowing of those colonies vanishing and the experience of the Romulans. But also later in Tapestry, right, when he gave Picard his It's a Beautiful Life and all good things, and even Encounter at Farpoint. Every time he's trying to teach them something really, really important that they need to learn in order to flourish. And what's particularly fascinating is that he tries to do it in a way that they believe that they do it himself. He sets himself up as this imp.
He's
capricious.
Tricky.
He's powerful and cruel. And in spite of his sort of vindictive pettiness, our heroes find a solution to their problems. You know, like in All Good Things. Which he was really trying to teach them. Anyway, sorry. He cares so much about teaching people that he doesn't care whether they appreciate him for it, which I think is a really fascinating character. Anyway, I've gone over the 90 seconds. Pardon me. Love the show. Hugs and kisses. Again, this is Khaki from the Joy of Trek. Oh, wait. Dan. Oh. I'm so intrigued by your process for creating these sound bites and your whole, like, how do you... I can take my answer off the air. You know, that's also fine. I just kind of want to know, like, how do you get your clips? How do you select them? How do you set up this library and play them to everyone's, literally everyone's delight every week? Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Love you. Love you.
To everyone's delight.
Catch you later, baby.
Well, that was a great voice message. First question is, how was he able to go beyond the 90 seconds? Because I thought there was actually like a restriction.
Because, okay.
That like beyond our control.
Each and every week we explain this, but I fear there's something getting lost in the communication, at least between me and Dan.
I don't think you've ever explained this.
Because what I've tried to get across is that the tool that we have on the website on www.itsgotstartrek.com/record. That is a handy tool for people who wish to record a message to us.
Right.
The limitations of that specific tool.
I knew that part.
Are 90 seconds because we don't want to pay for the extended version.
I know that part.
Now, separately, that tool is one of multiple means by which somebody could record their voice and transfer it digitally to us.
Yes. That sentence went on like 5 seconds too long, but yes, I see where you're going.
All part of my charm. So, what Khaki has done is he has recorded the audio of his voice and sent it in an MP3 format similar format directly via email versus using the tool.
Okay.
Which is a perfectly cromulent thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
We are limited in the tool that only records up to 90 seconds. But if you want to send us an hour, and well, who knows? We'll see. Maybe we'll just sit there and live comment on an hour-long message. But anyway, thank you very much.
Yeah, that was great. And I love the love. I love you too.
Yes, I love the love as well.
I love and miss you already.
Joy of Trek is a great podcast that is worth checking out. People who enjoy this here podcast, It's Got Star Trek podcast, I think will also enjoy the Joy of Trek because they have a similar humor, I think. And they also jump around the universe, you know, from different episodes to different episodes. So
jump around the universe.
jump around.
Well, Khaki, thank you again for that wonderful voicemail.
Now, what about your, do you want to reveal any of your secrets?
I mean, it's basically.
You get like a bucket of sounds and you just sort of slurp your hand into the bucket, the digital bucket, and scoop them out.
I'll try to go through this quickly as I can.
Good.
Because there's several steps to involve the whole process. So first I watch the episode, just watch it. And that's for general watches. And then
I watch you watch it.
Then you just watch it. Jesse likes to watch.
I like to watch Dan.
He likes to watch the watcher. It's like postmodern.
I like to collect Squatch watches. You all remember Squatch watches?
Yes, I do.
Swatch.
You used to love those.
Still do.
Still do. I don't know if you own any, though.
I own them. I just don't wear them because I have a digital fancy watch with digital stuff. Jesse's giving up.
That was a funny noise.
The funny noise is Jesse opening his snack. Okay.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
We got to talk about his way. But first, we want to hear a little bit about Dan's audio process. So Dan watches the television program.
I watch it. I just watch it.
I mean, feel free to omit any steps that you think might be fucking obvious.
I'm just saying. Because, no, this is important. The order, I tell you.
I can appreciate this.
I just watch it, like, no notes or anything. Okay. Then the next time, I watch it again. The second time with closed captioning on, and that's when I take my notes. And those are notes about things I noticed about the episode. And I like hear little bits of sound that I think might be interesting. And so I mark the time down basically. And that process takes like a lot longer because like I'm pressing, you know, jump back 10 seconds a whole bunch to try to sort of, you know, you have to keep jumping back.
Get them time codes.
And so I just little things that, and after I've done it for a while, certain like when people speak, like sometimes like the beat they speak at, or like the melody, like their tones and melodies that their voice uses in natural speech. Mm. It's like the more one listens to it, the more that one sort of like starts noticing that kind of thing. Mm. I think, and that just comes from like doing it over and over again. But yeah, and then I try to pick like conversational things, you know, like
"That's amazing,"
or
"Hello,"
or
"My thoughts exactly,"
or
"Oh, it'll stop on my account,"
or
"How the hell did you get in here?"
Or things that are rhythmic, and you can do like, you can start looping them and make beats.
Yeah.
It's terrific. It's terrific. It's terrific.
based off of your
it's a riffic.
Extensive music training.
It's a riffic. Catch you later, baby.
That one is, I just love the sound of this one.
Catch you later, baby.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm guessing that you've recorded a few of the things that jumped out at me this was, auditorily and otherwise.
This was just one string of things people were saying. I didn't cut this at all.
Thanks, Doc.
Wonderful.
Very nice.
That's like pretty beady.
Thanks, Doc.
Wonderful.
Very nice.
Whoops.
Thanks, Doc.
Wonderful.
Very nice.
Thanks, Doc.
Wonderful. Very nice.
Thanks, Doc.
Wonderful. Very nice.
Thanks, Doc.
Wonderful. Very nice.
Thanks, Doc. Wonderful.
Very nice.
Don't we normally save this for later?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Well, I guess that was part of my process is trying to explain.
I still think it's cool.
Yeah. Okay. And so anyway, moving on. And then I basically just go into Audacity and I go through the time codes and I pull them out. And then I have to like upload them. I'm not like an Apple person, but I do have an iPad. So I upload them to the iCloud and then I pull them off onto my iPad because the iPad is actually pretty useful for this kind of stuff. Yeah, then I set it. Then I pull all the sounds into the iPad, and then I go through and tag them all different colors depending on like green is like sort of like general sort of like conversational or useful things in a conversation. I was gonna say in a conversation, but it's the same thing. Purple, and these colors have developed over time. Like purple is episode specific stuff that's not necessarily conversational. Like
collection of photons or force fields.
Like that's not really conversational. It's you could do it, but it's not that easy. And then I do like pink for beat, some other oranges, peach for sounds, red for music.
What if something falls into one more than one category?
That is a very good question, Patrick. Thank you for asking that.
Generally, I'm fascinated by this color thing.
Yeah, generally speaking, if they fit into two categories, the green, which is the conversational stuff, it generally usually falls to the green because, like, if it's episode related and conversational, I'll generally put it in the green.
Do you sort them by color or by alphabet?
Color. Oh, well, I'd sort them by color. So
color then alphabet.
Well, color then what I think goes together. I have a different process for that.
This is really informative.
Eye opening,
I shall say, because I've glanced at the screen and I really try not to, you know, get in your face and read your shit.
No, you can look at my. I've seen
these colors.
I wonder,
like, what's up with the colors? And now I know.
Well, yeah. I really want to know: are the colors basically arbitrary, or is there some sort of synesthesia involved? Are you a synesthete?
Well, when I
if you know what I'm saying,
when I started this, I had no organization system really at all, and it just kind of naturally formed. And those are the colors that just kind of happened to cluster for whatever reason.
Self-initiate synesthesia connected to these colors. Do you feel something physical? Do you see wavy lines or anything?
No, I don't.
Does purple smell a certain way?
No, it's not that.
Purple smell.
They didn't even actively choose them. They just started to form. And then I noticed that,
they chose you.
Yeah, because then I noticed like, for some reason, the conversational stuff mostly tends to be green. And then I started making it green. And then green used to be the only color I had. But then slowly purple found itself. And as to why it's purple, I don't know. It just fucking worked out that way. And then I used brown.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
And then I used brown. Brown is like extra special things that I want to approach. Like if there's a 20-second clip that I want to talk about or something like that. Or if there's a little joke thing that I'm trying to put into play. Where I play a sound and then I follow it up with like a music clip or something like that. Those are sort of extra bonus kind of things. And the ones I don't put any color to are just kind of like, those usually are the least important. I find I just really can't. I took them down, but I couldn't really figure out what I wanted to do with them. Mm. So I just kind of kept them at the top. And then I go through it again to organize each color within the colors. And that's kind of like with the purple, I kind of group it by character mostly, but not always. Mostly by character. Green, though, I start from most positive to least positive. So at the top...
Wait, what do you mean by positive?
Well, I'm about to explain
it. Oh, no.
Sorry, folks.
So we should listen to what you have to say.
Folks, we will be getting to his way soon enough, but this is fascinating. Yeah,
so
Jesse is not wrong. We sit here and watch this process happen, but we don't see his screens.
No.
It just is magic to us. And so this is... I'm really interested in this... organization. Okay, you're about to explain.
We had no idea
which definition of positive you're referring to.
So I mean, like,
and I also want to know about the directionality of positivity.
Okay, That's an interesting question.
Because you've just implied it.
Yeah.
With your organization.
So, okay. So when I, the first, the upper, up into the uppermost to the leftmost, going to the right, you know, down like a reading, like you're reading a book. Okay. The first one, it starts with like super positive, like yes.
Reading
yes,
a book in English.
Yes is the most positive word. And then there's words like, thank you. And then there's words like,
that's amazing.
Well, those are two words, but you know, like then it starts, that's amazing. And then later on, it might be like,
whatever makes you happy.
See, that's kind of positive, but it's also kind of like, eh, you know, so that's less, it's a spectrum of positive to negative. And so
some people read books the other way. So you, you know,
yeah, you're right. My yes. fault.
Jesse specified in English or one of the Western Romance languages.
No, that's actually, that's a good point though.
Arabic, Japanese, Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if anybody reads like from up to, from down to up. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Never mind.
I bet somebody does.
Somebody does.
And so, yeah, and so like, and then there'll be neutral ones like
so positive. Well, I guess that answers my question.
You know, like neutral kind
of
stuff.
And positivity is basically on the left hand of the axis, mm-hmm. and less positivity. So we're going more to neutral.
Then yeah, and then and towards negative, which are you know like.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Like that's a little more.
Even though
negative.
If you were looking at a standard axis, the negative numbers would be on the left side.
We're talking about I explained this already at the beginning.
I'm not arguing with it. I'm just illustrating that this is partly fascinating because it is the mirror image of what one might expect.
It's conceptually positive, not like in terms of numbers.
Is it because
positive?
You like to start out. On the positive note,
it's just
you want to start your day.
It's hard to find
positive notes.
It's hard to find sounds like when you have all these sounds. Sometimes it's hard to find them, so I just try to organize them in general conception. And the reason I chose positive over negative first, it was arbitrary. It's just like you go from yes to no. Why not start yes? Why not start with yes? You know, why not start with yes?
Start every day with yes.
Yeah, and so and then it ends.
That's going to be your political slogan. Why not start with yes?
Wake up, yes.
And then so right, and then it goes to negative, like you know. You're that's unfortunate, and then even more negative than that would be like you're a dickhole. You know that would be super negative. And that, right,
right. What is about that, what about Chief O'Brien?
And then that? Well, and then right at the very end of it would go no. That's the most negative is okay. No. Now the Chief O'Brien. That's interesting. That would probably go after because there's a little a couple after the negative. There's the extras, the questions.
There's like some other dimension.
There's questions like
a what
that goes. That is not positive, neutral, or negative. That's a question.
Or like a duck.
That's a question. Yeah. So that's different. And so and then there's some general ones like. I don't know, like Chief O'Brien would probably go after the no, but before the questions. Because right now I'm ending on questions. That's the word.
Yeah.
And so that's basically how I organize it.
All right. That's been part one.
All right.
Yeah, right.
Of
that was really great.
How Dan organizes all this business.
That was a special Christmas gift to our audience.
Yeah, right.
Yes, it was. It was a very Yuletide gift. Next week. Next week, Dan will talk about how he pushes on the buttons and slides around the screen and starts freaking out every now and then when he can't find something. And it's like, he starts shaking you and go, no, no.
A duck!
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I'm looking all around and I get totally flustered. And then when I grip on too hard to that, I can't just make a natural point because I'm like too focused on trying to find the thing. And then I get distracted. So I got to be careful about that.
I don't think anyone's ever known.
I thought he made a great point about Q, though, too, about how Q is always helping out. What was interesting in that episode, though, is that he also did mention, though, that like he wanted to join the crew, and they were like, "We
and
don't
help directly."
And they were like, "We don't need you." And then the episode ended with Picard being like, "Okay, Q, we do need you." So there was like that going on too. Yeah. But maybe he just wants some gratitude because he's always trying to help him all the time. You know, he's like in his heart, he's trying to help him. So that would strengthen that point, being like in his heart, he always wants to help him, and he's sick of not getting any gratitude for it. And so he's like, "Well, I'm gonna show you hardcore this time." So.
and thus he did.
Yeah.
And to learn more about that, go ahead and listen to last week's episode number 219 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Anytime, Pally. Anytime.
But for now. 22 minutes in, or 20, and
oh,
change, 20, 24 minutes in.
Thank you, Khaki.
We will get on with episode 220 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. But, yes, thank you very much, Khaki. Everyone go listen to the Joy of Trek podcast, and I bet he didn't expect to get that fulsome of an answer.
I bet that was a satisfactory
answer. Oh, yes, it was. And it is good for our non-Christmas special Christmas special.
All right. I guess that answers my question.
Yeah, so
ho, ho, ho.
Let's talk about his way, on the surface, very sweet, underneath, very evil and sinister and horrifying nightmare of an episode.
Yeah, there was some creepiness going on in this episode.
Guy's like Moriarty, but nice.
Yes, oh, okay. All right, so it's like
more powerful than Moriarty.
This really, I'm going to, just to get it out of the way so nobody gets confused, I do enjoy this episode. I've always enjoyed this episode, and I get what they were going at. It's meant to be a sweet, kind of fun episode.
But there's some things.
It came right after In the Pale Moonlight, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the episode after In the Pale Moonlight, considered one of the best episodes of Star Trek of all time.
My thoughts exactly.
And super intense. And so they needed a break. They needed a lighthearted thing. So here is supposedly a lighthearted.
You hardly see Sisko at all.
Sweet romp. Yeah, you barely see Sisko.
One little scene, I think.
But the thing is if...
No.
The thing about this episode is
they can't take that away from me. They can't take that away. Can't take that away from me. No, no,
no, no.
La la.
They can't take that
away. No, 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 no. They can't take that away from me. They can't take that away from me. No, no,
no, no.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Yes. Yes, that's why the episode's great. There's a lot that's great about the episode.
That whole I know you're making a point. I just want to say that scene was awesome between Odo and Sisko, and he's all like,
"You were singing,"
"You were singing," right? He's like, and then at the end, like, and Odo's like, "Huh, I guess it was," and Sisko's just like, "Huh, yeah." It's like he's looking over some serious shit, like going through some professional
death
military
rolls
thing,
from the Dominion War,
right?
And then he just starts snapping, like I love that Sisko is like all into it,
There's a lot that's great in this episode. And the concept is a fun concept, except when it comes down to it, it's like the story of a horrifying digital imp.
Yeah.
Some sort of creature, some sort of like manifestation that starts manipulating people. And also the other thing is, as sweet as it is, it's all from Odo's perspective, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the chief critiques, a lot of people have pointed this out, is that Deep Space Nine maybe wasn't always as male gazey as some of the other Star Trek, but sometimes the story, like Odo is, we don't think of Odo as a lascivious person, right? But it's still, this whole story is just from his perspective, and we barely know Kira's perspective at all, so that's a little bit weird. But there's all this Vic Fontaine stuff, it's cute, but it's really a little bit off-putting.
Yeah.
Very 20th century.
I was thinking about how this episode compares with like Geordi's holodeck program.
Or Barclay.
Or Barclay, right. Barclay. That was creepy too. Now here's the thing. In a lot of ways, this is more creepier. It's the creepiest.
You may simply say creepier.
I know. I was playing myself.
You got played.
By myself.
By yourself.
Yeah.
More creepier.
Yeah, you know, in a lot of ways, this was way creepier than the Geordi.
You broke your own ankles. I know.
What?
Isn't that a phrase? You broke your own ankles?
No, I don't know. Maybe. Is that a phrase now?
I'm going to break your face.
Don't break your ankles.
No.
Oh, no.
And so, in a lot of ways, this was creepier than the Geordi holodeck episode with... what was the scientist's name?
Dr. Leah Brahms.
Yeah, but what saves it is that Geordi was the creepy one in this episode. Odo was he's absolved of any wrongdoing
because it's Vic.
And that's why this episode seems in a way creepier, but in another way more innocent.
It's because he's a hologram. If Vic were not a hologram, if Vic were just some dude.
Holograms?
If Vic Fontaine were just some guy.
He's no ordinary hologram.
Doing all these things, right? Everyone would be like, Jesus fucking Christ, you know?
Yeah. Well, okay, he can jump. He can jump holodecks. He can move around the station computer system sort of at will.
Yeah.
To holograms?
Which is more
holograms?
It's more than what Moriarty can do. Moriarty's got this chip on his shoulder. This guy's like, he's like, I'm a hologram. That's how it goes.
It is kind of funny that they have this canonical situation with Moriarty that two times causes all sorts of ruckus, all manner of trouble on the flagship, on the most technologically advanced ship in the fleet. And despite
Chief
that,
O'Brien.
Despite that, what was the name of O'Brien's friend? I always forget his friend. You know, he's always hooking him up with his illegal shit. Like, not illegal necessarily, but like,
is it the same guy who made this Vic Holiday?
Yes, the guy who made
Felix.
Felix.
Oh.
Because that I think that guy's given him other holodeck programs. But
I don't remember this Felix character.
That's the impression I got.
They brought up Felix in this episode. What I'm saying is I don't remember. I had this question before I came in tonight.
I think he's only referenced. He's only referenced. It's not a character that we got. It's an implied
cockroach.
It's a shady guy who hooks Bashir up with stuff from time to time.
Well, so this is a shady holodeck program because, like,
it's like I got it from a shady guy, and by the way, it's self-aware, just like Moriarty.
Yeah, right. So first of all, there was the scene at the beginning where he was talking about, like, you know, he's like, "Oh, you two are married. Oh, you miss your wife," and that kind of deal. And so, on the one hand, you could be like, "Wow, that's really intuitive and perceptive," but couldn't you just say, like, "Well, it's in the computer. The computer probably knows all that shit anyway. So couldn't you just say that the information was being fed into Vic from the computer, and it wasn't like Vic's character that was figuring it out because he's a smarter hologram? Yeah. Do you think he actually was able to use computer logic to figure out that they were, or do you think he just grabbed like their data files from like that exist about?
I think there was some data file grabbing. I think there's probably already some holodeck program of Kira that exists. From Our Man Bashir. That Quark made.
Yeah, Our Man Bashir.
Which we discussed. There's all that stuff.
Yeah, they mentioned the Russian accent.
We discussed that in episode 103 of the Scott Sargent podcast.
About that part, this is related. Vic says, "Do you know how difficult it was for me to get a holographic image of Major Kira? Lucky for you, Julian used her image in one of his spy programs, though it did take me an hour to get rid of the Russian accent." Now,
that's from Our Man Bashir.
Yes, right. But like, unpack that for a minute. What does
her ghost is left in there?
What does it mean for Vic to take an hour to do something? He's a hologram.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
Like, it's like an eternity. It's an infinity for us.
Yeah, like it doesn't mean anything. It's like, couldn't they just like, okay. So this brings a question in my mind. Is this just part of like the holodeck deception? Or is it like, was
the holodeck deception? That sounds like an excellent novel to read on an airplane.
Like, he's saying it takes an hour, but it only takes like a few minutes, and he's goofing off the rest of the time.
I want a 350 page paperback with the cover that says the holodeck deception, and it's got like a silhouette of a Cardassian with a fedora on. You know, he's looking back under a street light.
My thoughts exactly.
Trek noir.
So when he was looking for those the Kira and teaching her not to have a Russian accent, do you think it was really those two sub programs or those processes or those blip blops? Were they two like software things interacting like really in the background somewhere, couldn't Vic just make a copy of himself and do it like right away? Couldn't he make a program? If he can jump between programs, couldn't he just make her change? Like, or do you think that do you think the holograms actually in real time stood in memory in the computer processing with each other as if they were in character? Do you see what I'm saying?
This is a very good question.
But do you see what I'm saying?
It's gotten you a bit worked up.
Are they in character or are they just the computer? Is he just lying?
I don't see how an accent programming is something that you have to clean up. You just turn it on or off. You just say, give her the American accent, give her the Russian accent.
Right. He's a computer, so he can just program it to do whatever he wants. All it is the computer programming itself.
But it's also like it's more relatable to have.
I know, I was wondering like if maybe it's all just a deception that they're not, that he didn't actually
or
take
it's just a literary.
Like he didn't actually thing. Take an hour yeah, to right. teach her. Yeah. It was just Vic deceiving us.
He's a poet.
Well, or was or
he sings,
did,
he sings
or,
songs.
Or did the computer create these two other programs to make them battle each other for the computer's amusement?
It's an amazing question you have, Dan. We'll attempt to get an answer to that question
after a very, very brief break.
Why?
How's that sound?
Well, yeah, why?
How brief?
We got to take a break every now and then.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's good to just good to reset our brain, reset our thinking. It helps the listeners calm down for a brief moment so they can also reset their brains.
They don't want to get too excited.
We find that people can endure us slightly longer if we interject these brief breaks about every 30 minutes or so.
You don't have to be an Einstein to clue into any of that.
An Einstein. That's like being a Dracula.
Yeah, right.
All right. We will be right back. Can we come back then?
Yeah.
Okay. We're back.
Are you telling me that you discussed your love life with a hologram?
Hologram.
We're back. Merry Christmas.
No, your basic heuristic, fully interactive hologram?
Hologram.
Holograms, fully interactive.
If you're just
spending time in a holosuite.
If you're just doing
sabotage. Holograms.
We've now okay. So here's the situation. We gotta make it a mission. Jesse and I accidentally made some Sazeracs.
There was no accident about it.
No, what I mean by accidentally is we were all getting settled down, ready to podcast, and all of a sudden Jesse was like, "Hey, you know, I see you have that Sazerac rye. That rye, can I have some of that?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
And then I was like,
"I got some absinthe."
I was like, "You know, I got some absinthe. If you want to make a Sazerac,
you two lovebirds can live without me. I trust."
Jesse was all like, "Well, you gotta have bitters." And it turned out.
Oh, well, you were like, "Isn't there bitters?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, there's the weird kind of bitter."
And that's for you too.
But I had them in the back of the closet.
You got the standard bitters, which you can also use.
And then Jesse pulls out a fucking mandarin.
I got some oranges.
Bon appetit.
I had to root around for our.
I like my fruit.
Our what do you call it? Zester.
Yes,
that took a bit of doing.
Anyway, long
story
short.
Whatever makes you happy.
Back at the ranch.
And he has ice, too.
Jesse and I accidentally made Sazeracs. And so we're feeling very festive.
He made a big one.
Hardly.
Dan's feeling festive because it's just, that's how Dan is every single day. Mm-hmm. It's good being Dan.
He's full of fest.
All right. Okay. Well, okay. Before we continue with our discussion, let's have our next little bit of Christmas merriment. No, this is Christmas merriment. I think it's fair to call it Christmas merriment. Just another funny thing that I found online.
Hey, fellow geeks and geekettes. It's holiday time, and you know what that means.
All right.
Yep. Holiday music. If you're a Star Trek fan, then I have something just for you.
From 15 years
ago.
It's
called Merry Trekmas. A 14-song compilation of holiday music merged with Star Trek lyrics. And the best part is it's completely free.
Oh,
yep, you heard right.
It's completely free.
www.christrocks.com.
Christrocks.
Merry Trekmas.
Christemups.
Download the whole album. Plus the CD artwork, labels, and a special making of podcast with an alternate version of one of the songs and a very special treat.
That's amazing.
Like Jean-Luc the Baldhead Captain. Jean-Luc the Baldhead Captain had a very shiny
oh,
head.
Oh, God. Oh,
and
no.
If you ever heard him, make it so is what he said.
Make it so.
We warp you a Merry Christmas.
We warp you a Merry Christmas.
No,
we warp you a Merry Christmas. We warp you a Merry Christmas. And a Kapla New Year.
No.
My hairy little creature.
No, no.
A hairy little creature.
He's talking about tribbles.
Let your tribbles make all I want for Christmas.
Oh, all I want for Christmas is to join Starfleet. Yeah, to join Starfleet. Oh, to join Starfleet.
Away team with Phaser. The pink fuchsia planet is searched by the guys. The men with the red shirts pray that they won't die.
No.
12 days of Starfleet and more.
And now we know how you organize this.
On the first day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me an honorary academy degree.
Visit
www.christrocks.com/Merry Trekmas and listen or download your geeky holiday music just in time to celebrate with your family and friends.
No.
Merry Trekmas and a Kapla New Year.
New Year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, that's what she said.
Even as a that's what she said joke.
The one with
that was from like 2008.
The one with Worf reminded me of the Muppets. John Denver and the Muppets sing Christmas carols. John Denver and
that's
the Muppets.
That's great, man.
Yeah, it was.
I used to have the record.
And I did too. And the We Wish You a Merry Christmas. It was like one of those like they were singing the figgy pudding part, and animals all going like won't go.
Yeah,
it sounded like Worf.
And Miss Piggy thought they said piggy pudding, and she was like piggy pudding.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, right. So I like the first one, like the recording you played prior to this, much better than that.
This one was more effort, a little cheesier because it was a little, you know. Definitely.
Pulling off song parodies like that is a difficult task. Somehow Weird Al does it. But like, it's hard to make it not make me want to just like fucking kill someone.
Well, I tried going to the website.
Like, have you ever heard of the Capitol Steps? Like, I can't take that shit.
Yeah, Weird Al is the only one that can really.
I mean, if you're into the Capitol Steps, great. I'm not trying to say you're into shit, but like, I can't take that stuff.
Weird Al's like a special.
The website.
Yeah, he's good.
I went to the website christrocks.com. It appears to be defunct. So I was really looking forward to seeing because I wanted to see because it said all the tracks were there. So unfortunately, Christ Rocks, I hate to be announcing this on Christmas Day of all days.
Christ Rocks.
Do you know what Jesus would say on the first Christmas Day if he heard that Christ Rocks?
The cat can swing.
No, I was going to say he'd be all like.
He'd be all like, wah, wah, right. Because he'd be a baby. Yeah,
but that's okay. It's okay to be a baby.
It's okay.
Yeah. I know.
All right. Anyway, so that was a little bit of silliness.
Yep. Speaking of silliness,
getting back to the show. His
Odo.
Way.
So one thing we learn about Odo is that he has a stern exterior, but on the inside, he's really just a bunch of goo.
Oh, he's all mushy.
I was like, where are you going with this? And that's genius. Oh wait, yeah.
Goo,
man! I wish you had told me you were gonna do that. I would have played one of these. Like, that's no good. I don't know where the good one is.
What's a goo one?
Chief O'Brien.
No, that's a depressing.
How about this?
He can make himself just look like Tuxedo.
What about this? Man, where all the good ones go?
She's a hologram. Auto generator.
She's a hologram.
Don't you feel a little silly being here in a holosuite?
Auto generator.
Holo generator.
No, that's silly. Okay.
Complicated to leave a holosuite?
Hologram.
All right. What were we saying? Yes, Odo is full of goo.
Chief O'Brien.
Odo's
full of goo.
Chief O'Brien?
There was a little bit of Chief O'Brien in this episode.
Before the break, we were talking about the whole what's the deal with Vic Fontaine sort of thing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I was just going to comment that you have to sort of first define which angle you're going to come at it from. From the writing angle, it's yes, of course, they're just making a relatable character. Don't worry too much about the technical aspects or the moral implications.
It was something they planned
existing.
Early on. They were like, we're going to do a Vegas episode.
Yeah. And they wanted to have, they tried to get Frank Sinatra Jr. and Robert Goulet and a bunch of other people. Yeah.
James Darren, they got.
So that's the one angle. The in-universe angle does get more interesting because it's also getting into those complicated philosophical debates that are going on right now about how would you define a conscious entity? Because you could have an entity, a simulated entity, behaving in all ways identical to a conscious entity, and yet you would not necessarily be able to know whether or not it was truly conscious or just mimicking consciousness. That's, of course, what people are dealing with the OpenAI, ChatGPT, and all that other fun stuff.
She's a hologram. Holograms.
Yeah.
So that gets more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you just want to say he is the devil, he is some form of devil. All of the questions you were asking before and the examples you were going through over what complicates the existence of Vic Fontaine,
right.
They're all 100% correct. Mm-hmm. They're the easiest way to get rid of them is to say that he's some sort of demon.
Yeah.
He's like a demon, not necessarily an evil demon, but some sort of supernatural, like a sprite or a leprechaun,
like a fairy.
Like a fairy with the A and the E.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not an A and an I.
Well, he was.
Or an E and a Y.
He was like, I get that he was trying to teach Odo to have some style, but like he was really just teaching him how to lie. He taught him how to pretend to play the piano and then take credit for it so he could basically practice dating Kira by having sex with other women. I mean, he basically said, like, you got to practice, buddy boy. You know,
pretend to play piano. That's how you get chicks.
Pretend to play piano so you can lie to them and say, tell you play piano so you can have sex with them in order to have practice to have sex with the person you really love. Now, I'm not
judging. You think Otto had sex with that girl?
Well, that's what the intent was. That was,
yeah.
I suspect that we must have had to have sex with
kind so, of gooey, and like, gooey look, sex. look, you know, however you want to date. I'm just saying it's a weird lesson to sort of, it's a weird thing to teach somebody
you want to date a hologram? Date a hologram.
He makes, okay, and then he gets to the next level by making like a fake sexy Kira to sort of titillate him, yes, which was also.
And it works.
Yeah, and it works, and it's weird. And that's the male gazy part also you were talking about. It's a male gazy.
Donnie Darko.
To Bill Brasky. That was an SNL spin. So yeah, and then it leads into him lying, like Vic is lying to Odo. Uh-huh. And Kira, both of them, where Kira thinks it's a real date and Odo thinks it's a hologram.
Yeah, that last bit is like a Shakespearean type thing.
Yeah, now Odo and Kira are rightly pissed off, and he was just like, look, there was no other way it's going to happen. But man, like, that you're right, that's a scary-ass hologram that's going to, like, fuck with your life. If he has that kind of power, what if he's going to Moriarty your ass instead?
You can watch this episode from multiple different angles, but the two main angles are... This is a cute, sweet, sitcom-ish.
That's what
type
it was
tale.
Supposed to. That's what it was trying to portray.
It's revealing the horrific entrenchment of the patriarchal society, a sexist patriarchal society, into the 24th century that favors duplicity, and sinisterness and trickery, and sex dollery. If that's a term, if not, I'm coining it and I've trademarked it.
Good. And this holodeck program exists that can do all this stuff, but somehow is not malicious. He's helping everybody out.
Yeah, and that's what we're lucky.
He's a nice guy.
And he's singing songs, and he's an entertainer.
Well, Felix could have programmed something much more, you know, malicious.
Yeah, he's just programmed that way, but he can still do all this stuff.
It just
and it's wild.
Now,
man.
Like, I guess in the end it worked, but like, to what end? I don't know. What if it hadn't worked?
Can you imagine?
That would have been terrible.
Maybe it didn't.
But
he didn't have to do much to make it work. Like, you know.
Well, I mean, Odo, like, never ended up, you know, getting up the courage to tell her on her own. So he kind of tricked him into revealing, like, something that really, in the end, it would have been better if he had some sort of agency over it. He didn't have agency, even though he was speaking those words without knowing who he was speaking to. There's no agency in that. And
yeah,
so,
because
like,
the title of this episode is His Way, and that refers to Vic's way.
Right.
That's
yeah.
what this, you know, because like, it's, of course, a joke on the Sinatra My song, way. My Way, yeah. Yeah. But that's not what Odo is doing. Odo is doing what the other guy is telling him to do. He's doing it his way.
And Vic,
not the Odo style of flirting.
And ultimately, Vic is teaching Odo to be someone he's not and then tricks him into revealing
secrets. That's one potential interpretation. Because I do think you could argue that all the stuff that you said being said, that like why you can watch this episode from a few different angles is because I do think you could argue is like, oh, well, we know Odo has some of these performative things in him
and
stuff.
True.
And you know, so this is a way of opening them
up a little bit. I briefly did mention earlier that like, yeah, it's teaching Odo to have some style, to embrace his stuff and be proud of himself. But he was doing it through things that Odo doesn't do.
Yes.
That's the problem. And like, I guess he was just showing him like, this is what
it was very much outside the bucket. Get it? Because it's Odo.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, yeah. Man. Would you say it's
thinking outside the bucket?
Would you say Vic's deceptive behavior was beyond the pale?
Would you say that's a good one too? You've beaten me because I was about to make a Vic's Vapo Rub joke.
Oh,
but your joke about the pale is better because I think you know I said bucket and you went with a synonym pale, which is excellent. That's how you build humorous jokes,
but which is itself a play on words because. The original meaning of that is
exactly
not pale.
It's a pun.
Yes.
It's a pun.
It's a total pun. He's punning all over the place.
It's a synonymic pun.
Synonymic pun.
And that's good podcasting is what I'm trying to get at, Dan. Good job.
As always.
He's good.
I expect nothing less from Dan.
But yes, but yes, his way is
so,
Vic's way.
So yeah, anyway, so yeah, he could have...
He's the sneaky light
bulb. I guess the point is to say, look, if you just... This is an example of what you could feel like if you just embraced yourself, but they never really spoke that message. In the end, like I said, there was no agency of him revealing how he felt to Kira on his own accord, yeah. So that loses some of the effect because, like, you want someone to be able to be comfortable enough with themselves to be able to do that, I guess, ideally, but I guess the idea is maybe because... He got tricked into it. He knows the world won't end as a result. Maybe that'll give him more confidence in the future. I don't know. It's also a little bit confusing.
They're relying.
But you're right. It was supposed to be a sweet episode. I get that. But there's some weird stuff.
Look, we've discussed this before, how Star Trek, and Star Trek's not alone at this, by the way. Lots of television programs, particularly in the 70s, 80s, 90s, et cetera, when they were churning out tons of episodes per year, a lot of TV programs will use shortcuts. They will use thematic or cultural shortcuts by us knowing certain things or having certain assumptions that we carry into an episode if they use certain story structures, right? And the story structure of the shy guy who has to be tricked into asking the cheerleader on the date or whatever, that's something we understand. And so that's a lot of the heavy lifting is being done that by the structure of the story there. It's also what makes the story a little weird because they're relying on some sort of like Donna Reed era like structures as opposed to a more modern.
That is also weird that the time, the era, it's a little bit of an old,
the 1960s club, a 1960s sitcom plot really. That's transmuted into a dramatic, a lighthearted but dramatic hour-long tale. It's stretched out a little bit.
Catch you later, baby.
Baby.
Look, Pally. Pally. Look, Pally.
Stay with me, Pally.
Pally.
Oh, by the way, talking about being stretched out a little bit, that the Come Fly With Me segment, right? That went on a really long time.
Yeah.
Come fly with me. Let's take off to Peru.
You think we can get a takedown from playing these clips?
No, I don't think so.
This is one of those episodes of Star Trek.
And they never take it down anyway. Oh, that's good. They might do a demonetization, but we don't monetize it.
We're worthless.
Come fly with me.
So I was watching that, and like halfway through that clip, I was like, this clip is longer than one of Dan's sound clip manias.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. Regular listeners will know, like sometimes Dan goes into sort of a fugue state. Yeah. There's nothing Jesse and I can do about it. We try to physically restrain it. I was watching that Come Fly With Me. I was like, they're doing the whole fucking song. They're doing like a fairly slow arrangement of the entire song.
Yeah, like people are doing solos and shit.
Jay Chataway, by all accounts,
had tried
to get as many of like the actual musicians on stage as possible, not like extras playing musicians, which is I thought really cool.
Jay Chataway.
Jay Chataway always did a good job with the music in Deep Space Nine.
You know I'm gone.
I'm feeling it. It's about that time.
I could tell she was gonna do. You can always tell when somebody's gonna do Fever, like.
Fever.
It's like the only song that anybody starts that
way. Fever like my boobity boo. Fever!
Catch you later,
most,
baby.
Most recorded songs.
That line. Yeah, the songs they played, I got the ones that I was able to spot. They're You're Nobody Till Somebody Loves You.
Which is a depressing song.
Mm-hmm. Come Fly With Me, of course.
That's about doing drugs, I presume.
Yeah, that tracks. Odo, so it's interesting, in the closed captioning, Odo, it says they're humming, the name of the song they're humming in the closed captioning says that he's humming the song, They Can't Take That Away From Me. But in the transcription on Chakotea.net, it says that song is The Way You Wear Your Hat. So they disagree. So,
Did you then follow up and do a little additional research to determine which was the correct version?
No, that would have been a good idea. That would have been a good way to end that part.
Is that
with some closure?
Well, you know,
is that a Cole Porter or like a Gershwin?
Was it some good podcasting?
Who wrote that song?
They can't take that away from me.
Or somebody was.
They can't take that away from me.
I like how Odo like was all off key and not singing well.
Let's see. Hololola Kira sings Fever.
Hololola,
the fever song.
Fever.
Moon lights up the night.
The first time I heard that song was, I used to watch Pee-wee's Playhouse. Ah. And so we went to the video store and I rented what I thought was Pee-wee's Playhouse because it was Paul Reumann's as Pee-wee Herman, but it was his stage show, which is
it's a Gershwin,
which is Pee-wee's Playhouse characters.
I thought you got the porn version, which was Pee-pee's Fuckhouse.
Oh, no, I wish though, but my dad was like, that's rated R, you can't see that. And then I was like, oh, dad, I want to see him fuck. And he's like, no, son. Not until you're older. And so, no, it was his stage show which it's the same characters. He's Pee-wee Herman, but it's like adult themed or something.
Yeah, that's when he started the
sun. Yeah, that's how it was.
The daytime, moon lights up the night.
So, and one of the characters sang that song. And yeah, that's funny how that began. His character began kind of dirty, and then it turned over to a really good movie. And then, a kid's show. Then there was like, I've Got You Under My Skin, and then they do Come Fly With
Me. Oh, and the I've Got You Under My Skin is when Odo and Kira, who Odo thinks is fake Kira, but is right. actually real Kira, mm-hmm. are having dinner together without any other diners around.
Yeah.
And then Vic Fontaine is singing I've Got You Under My Skin and staring at them unblinkingly. Yeah. Unblinkingly staring at the lone couple in a fairly dark restaurant. Yeah.
And then Odo says,
it would be difficult for you to leave the Holosuite.
Why?
The part where when he says it would be difficult for you to leave the Holosuite, doesn't it sound like his next words are going to be like, because I'm going to rip you up in my basement or something like that?
Right.
I don't know about
There's
that.
There's an implication of violence.
Again, yes. There are multiple interpretations one could take.
Yeah. You're right. There are. I actually had the quote here and I'm not able to find it.
What good are you?
Come on, Dan.
I don't know.
Jesse, what are we going to do with this guy?
I don't know.
Kick him to the curb.
I don't know. We can just keep sipping on our Sazeracs. While this guy looks up some quote. I don't know what he's referencing.
Hey, Dan.
Dan was all like, I had the quote right here, but I don't know what he was talking about.
Oh, yeah. She says, are you embarrassed to be seen with me? And he goes, no, I meant it would be difficult for you to leave the Holosuite. She says, why? This is like, because you'll be dead soon, because I'm going to kill you. Doesn't that sound like kind of what it'd be? Cause like, it's,
I would never have thought that. That's
not the thing that comes to mind, Dan.
That's what people say when they're being sinister.
Okay,
it's like,
Dan.
There's like, well, I think it'd be kind of difficult for you to leave here. Why is that? It's because I'm going to tie you up in my basement.
Are you? Okay. I don't know anybody sinister. Do you?
So, Jesse, notice I keep saying Dan a lot right now. Just I always want to make it clear to the audience.
Is that like spam a lot?
No, just I want them to clearly differentiate who's got the kooky views here.
The kooky views.
Kooky views.
The kooky views.
Dan's got a classic case of kooky views.
And then Kira is like, is that what you think? As if like, I couldn't, that line was weird because she goes, is that what you think that, you know, implying I'm a hologram? You think I'm a hologram? It's like, she sounded offended when she should have just sounded confused because like, is that what you think? I'm a hologram? She said it as if he said like, you're a prude or you're a flibberty gibbet or something like that.
Flibberty gibbet.
And if she was like, is that what you think? See, that's the way she delivered the line, mm-hmm. as if he was insulting her or judging her. But he just said, you're a hologram. She should have been like, is that what you think? Like, as in, why would, that's confusing.
So, okay.
So her delivery was wrong because if I came up to you, Patrick, and said, you're a hologram, would you be offended by that?
No.
You'd be confused by that.
Yeah, I'd be confused by that. Thank you.
Holograms.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, you
okay,
did.
Good, thank you.
You did. You said it right.
I was confused for a second, but then I think I got it.
Yeah, or if you're like, you're not a hologram.
Yeah.
Because you were looking at me all sternly.
Jesse, you're a hologram, right?
What?
Yeah, see?
I'm confused.
Yeah, exactly. That's the proper response.
That's a confusing statement, sir.
A what?
Yeah.
A what?
A duck.
But I have a feeling that the transcript was probably right about the song title. At the top, it had a note, a transcriber's note. I can't be bothered to type out the lyrics to Vic's songs. I can recommend the CD. This one's from the heart if you want to listen to them.
That's Vic Fontaine recorded all those. Not Vic Fontaine. And James Darren.
And she says, Darren. Peggy Lee does the best version of Fever, in my opinion. So I feel like this person might know better.
The best known version.
Know better than the closed captioning word for some reason.
I mean,
because this person obviously loves Star Trek and the closed captioning could have been done by anyone.
So Dan, here's the deal. I don't disagree with you. I think that your evidence and logic supports a strong probability that the title, that the person who wrote the Chakotay.net transcript for this episode, I do agree that there's a strong probability that they are right. You've convinced me that probably they're right. Now,
they can't take that away from me.
And I don't want to take that away from you. I do want to, in addition.
You sound like you're about to be like, you have that look and tone to your voice. Be like, Dan, yes. Just, but I got to remind you of something, Dan.
It's not a reminder.
But I've got to remind you of something here, Dan.
It's not a reminder because you are seemingly unaware of it.
Maybe you're unaware, but maybe. Maybe. I'll just tell you this. So in the future, you won't be so embarrassed by what you just said.
I just wanted to point out.
I'm just trying to help you. Make more friends because you can lose a lot of friends by saying things like that because you sound like a dork.
I just wanted to point out that
sound like a dork.
That while yes, we now have increased the probability that the acceptable probability that this person knows what they're talking about, and then thus that the title of the song is 10 Crazy Hats or whatever it was. What was it?
No.
They can't take that away from me.
The title of the that's what the closed captioning thought.
That,
the
I
transcription
think that is what
says the way you wear your hat.
The way you wear your hat. Okay. So
that's what I think about that.
That's a classic case of
what's that supposed to mean?
That's Sazerac Jesse. We know him around these parts. He comes around every once in a while. Sazerac Jesse.
The cat can swing.
No, I was merely pointing out that while we now have more confidence in your supposition, that we could have long ago just looked this up on the internet and had full 100% confidence from a trusted source that we mutually agree is a trusted source, like the publisher or Wikipedia.
I was right. You were going to end
that's
that.
Right,
you were going to end that with a bit of advice. Be like, next time,
well,
Dan.
I never indicated that I was not providing advice.
Well, I mean,
I was definitely gearing up to provide advice.
I'm saying that's what I did.
And I was calling that from the start.
All right.
All right. I could have looked in the internet.
I think all of us, including our audience, have learned something tonight.
But what we did required...
We've all learned different things, slightly different things, but we've all learned something.
What we just did required more words, though, and like if we looked it up on the internet, that would be like, oh, wait, well, is this it? No, I don't know. This is stupid.
This is what the young people call content.
Look, pal.
My favorite version of Fever is Marine Girls.
Is that a punk band?
It's a band. Yeah, look it up.
Are they punk?
Marine Girls. They are post-punk.
Post-punk. Okay.
You were singing.
All right. Marine Girls. Well, we'll look that up over the break because we do. It is about time to take another break.
You're a hologram, too.
Holograms?
No, I'm not a hologram, Dan.
He knows he's a hologram.
You know what? I originally agreed with you.
I originally agreed with you
that Kira should look more confused than angry about being accused of being a hologram, but now I'm starting to get a little aggravated. Oh, man. It's beginning to wear. It's weighing heavily upon my brow.
You make it sound like I'm a hologram.
Hologram.
She's a hologram.
Holograms.
All right. Well, we will be back in just a moment. Okay. Is that cool? You guys cool?
I'm cool with that.
All right. We'll be right back.
No.
All right. Can we be back? Are we back? We're back. All right. We have returned. We've officially returned from the break. And what do we have here?
What is this?
This is the Marine Girls. You'll never know how much I love you. Fever. You'll never know how much I care. This is who Jesse described as being his favorite version of Fever.
Fever that's too hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me,
snakes.
Fever when you hold me tight.
Snakey snakes.
Fever!
They all whisper. Morning,
fever all through the night.
Hey, not bad.
Sunlight lights up the daytime.
All right, it's getting interesting.
Lights up the night.
Hey, well,
that wasn't part of it. But when they say fever, they like whisper. They whisper it when anybody does fever. That's like the
loud version. I like
that. That was pretty slick.
All right. Okay. Now we are back from break. So before
hello.
Hey, long time no see.
Hey, Pally. How's it going?
It's time to have some fun.
It is, and by fun, I bet you mean more Star Trek Christmas parodies.
We're really not here to talk about Vic, are we?
No, we aren't. We're here to talk about Mr. Spock, who in some corners is considered to be quite the mean one.
Great.
You're a mean one. Mr. Spock.
This was actually recorded by William Shatner.
Are the heel.
That's not Shatner. That's Forrest Kelly.
As a Klingon.
Oh, you're right.
You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Spock.
I would have gotten that.
I find your arguments strewn with gaping defects in logic.
The music is great.
Star Trek
Christmas. You're inhuman, Mr. Spock. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is a computer. You've got logic in your soul, Mr. Spock.
But my internal arrangement differs from yours, Doctor. Pleases me no end.
You're cold-blooded, Mr. Spock.
Why, thank you, Doctor.
Assuming you call that stuff blood, you have all
Stings.
The personality of a routine gaseous cloud, Mr. Spock.
Dr. McCoy, I believe you're enjoying all this.
Indeed, Captain. I've never seen him look so happy.
Shut up!
The video is very cute, by the way. Definitely, I'll have the link to the video. At this point in the video, McCoy and everybody's looking at each other, and then it's the Enterprise, and then...
Wow, what are you...
You think I have no emotions?
And then they have to have that little... It goes on a little long. This little extra musical sting at the end. It's well done, but I don't know if it's necessary.
Was that
the last bit?
Was that a different person than who made the Picard one?
Yes, that... Oh, thanks for reminding me. That was John C. Worsley. John C. Worsley.
Not Riley. Not John C. Riley.
Not John C. Riley.
John C. Worsley.
John C. Worsley. And the previous
liver
one...
Liver Worsley.
By the way, the previous one at ChristRocks.com was by Nathan Moyer.
I know.
All right.
Back to Vic Fontaine, Demon Extraordinaire.
I know I said it was William...
people left and right.
I know I said it was
fucking with people's lives.
I know I said I was William Shatner, but I would have figured it out. I knew it was DeForest Kelly.
Yeah.
But at first I got it wrong.
Nobody's stressing about it, Dan. Don't worry about it.
At first I was thinking about Shatner's like spoken word albums or whatever where he sings.
It had a bit
stuff.
Of that vibe.
Yeah. At first I thought it was like Shatner. Oh, I was like, is this an extra track on his
It's a little hard to hear too, the way it was produced. The music was a bit music forward, which while I think that was overall very well done, you know, music forward production over vocals tends to indicate, I'm not going to argue it's always the true, but oftentimes it indicates to me a bit of insecurity on the part of the artist.
You're gonna look like a Clyde, a Harvey, you know, a square
Harvey.
Harvey.
I really did like a lot of the banter in this episode.
A Clyde.
And especially that part at the beginning where Vic Fontaine is like, you know what a square is, right? And O'Brien's like, one side of a cube.
That's one side of a cube.
And then
One side of a cube.
And then Vic Fontaine responds with like, I guess we got the answer to that question. some version of that.
Well, I guess that answers my question.
Exactly. There you go. Yep. That was good banter.
Yeah, that was good. There was some good banter in this episode.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Well, yeah, you did. And I was using
You're
that
reiterating
as a,
my point.
I'm reiterating your point to move on to a related point.
This is a form of segue.
Sort of. Yeah, it's kind of like rhyming a word
it's
with
a
the same.
It's a form of imperialism.
Jesus.
I'm just
a bit.
I'm just kidding.
A bee.
The
Borg.
It was a segue in the way that when you use the same word to rhyme with the word when you rhyme two words that are the same word, like when you rhyme thing with thing instead of thing with wing.
Yeah.
It's like that's what this, because I repeated what you said.
Yeah.
That's
or the, bling.
Or bling.
Yeah.
The whole, the part with, between,
Between.
Oh.
Uh-oh. The part between Odo and Quark.
Odo
and Quark. Odo and Quark. The whole part between Odo and Quark.
Yeah, these are good Sazeracs. That was a good idea, Jesse. Oh,
I came here to talk about a missing shipment of groat clusters.
Groat clusters.
Oh, no.
This part.
You've had plenty of time to arrange a merger with Kira.
I like the whole like Ferengi approach to relationships and love and like and stuff. That whole scene where he kept like talking about it was like a business transaction the whole time. So I thought that was, and I liked how when Odo did kiss Kira at the end, there's a shot of Quark and he's like, he's like, but like I wasn't sure why Quark was helping him so much. Because first. He's helping Odo.
Buddies.
He's well, are they buddies by now?
Yeah, yeah. This is after the ascent. Remember, we covered the ascent.
But even
after,
so,
after other times that they helped each other.
Here's two things that I don't think go along with. I don't think it goes along with Quark's character.
We've got one of Dan's classic lists, although it's only a two item list.
How'd you know?
But because you said you have two things.
You said I've got two things I'm gonna say. I've got two things that I'm gonna say.
This is okay. You're only, how'd you know? Okay, to the audience. The audience has to understand that Dan looks shocked. like what the, like, are you reading my fucking mind?
How'd you know that?
All right.
There are two things. So, and I'm gonna, this is not within Quark's character. Number one, I just mentioned, he helps Odo with no known profit. There's no profit.
No, no.
Even if they're friends, he still would, he's a Ferengi, you know, he wants profit.
Right.
There's no, he's not asking for anything in return. Number two, that the scene where he gave Bashir
one warp core breach. Come right up.
Did you notice that he poured the drink before Bashir asked for it and that Bashir didn't even want it?
Yeah.
Like, why would he start making a drink before the customer paid for it?
It was because Quark has an alcohol problem and he was going to drink it.
That could have been the only reason, because like that was
true.
A big involved drink with like some special effects and like it was huge.
I had one of those. I had one of those at the Star Trek Experience in Vegas, Nevada, United States of America.
What was it like?
It was good. It was like a blue. It was like blue raspberry alcohol or something.
Right, okay.
Well,
with dry ice.
He said it's going to make you feel good for 3 days. So you got your Starfleet officers.
It didn't
like,
make me feel good for 3 days.
You're going to have Starfleet officers basically drugged up on some kind of opiate juice.
Maybe
like,
Ferengis have a different reaction to alcohol.
Well, they also they have.
Well,
he told
Bashir, he was like, "This is going to make you feel good for 3 days."
Yeah, but Bashir has access to all the antagonists, so he can get the count. You know, he can inject himself with some business to make him sober up.
Yeah, oh, speaking of alcohol,
like binging and purging in Starfleet is really bad news.
Well, you mean
business?
You mean it happens all the time?
Yeah, because you can just like hypo spray your ass to prick yourself up, and
you
then
you can just well you don't need to purge.
Then you hyper spray with some other business.
You just point the transporter at your stomach.
Yeah, exactly. You beam that shit out.
Well, this is a legitimate segue. This brings me to my next point.
like the idea of a legitimate segue.
But they only had transporter guns recently, like in Picard.
Oh, is that true?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
I don't know. Somebody else knows.
So, the question of Synthahol.
The question.
As it relates to Hololiquid. Hololiquid, right?
Hologram.
Right. Well,
she's a hologram.
Okay.
Holograms.
Food on the holodeck is it just?
It's real food. It's replicated food.
But
you just use a replicator.
No.
I'm on the wrong side of Dan's.
Some of that wasn't real because that dude was like, it's the holodeck.
Vic.
Yeah, Vic was saying, Jesse, you said, because he's like, don't worry, Odo, there's no booze in this. It's a holo juice or whatever. Right, so.
Holo juice.
You came very close to starting like a Sugar Hill Gang style rap.
Oh, did I? That would have been awesome. So he says, the holo liquid, he's like, this won't get you drunk. It's holo liquid. And then that brought up a question in my mind. I was thinking, why won't it make you drunk? It could either be A, because it's essentially just synthahol. And then I started wondering, well, I thought in some cases synthahol can make you drunk, but that's like the unanswered question of Star Trek is, does synthahol make you drunk? I think there's enough information to imply that it can do something to you.
I think we've had this discussion a few times.
We have.
Most recently, I believe, on discussing one of the later episodes of season 4 of Star Trek Lower Decks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I believe with that and other bits of evidence, we came to the conclusion that yes, you could become intoxicated. However, perhaps without any sort of hangover effects, and also perhaps with the ability to sober up rapidly on an as-needed basis.
Well, so Vic specifically said, he's like, this won't get you drunk, it's holo liquid, implying that all, he says it's holo, what was the word?
He was just hanging out with Odo, so maybe he just made that special for Odo. There's no reason to think
I gotta find this line, man, because like.
Gotta find this line.
Because
gotta find
like,
this line. How about this? I'm gonna play some Jingle Bells while you do that. just to remind us that we're talking about his way, but this is episode's landed on Christmas. Christmas Day, 2023. And you can't take that away from us.
I did find
this is a perfectly normal episode. Everything's fine.
I did find the...
Okay, Dan found the business, so I can pod down the Jingle Bells effects. All right. So that's not related to your point.
That's a loop, bitch.
No, here's the line. Odo, Vic says, bottoms up. Odo says, no, I don't drink. Vic says, why am I not surprised? It's not real booze. You're in a hollow suite, remember? That implies
that
you're in a hollow suite, therefore it's not booze. Under all circumstances.
I understand what you're saying. It just doesn't really stress me out that much.
Well, it doesn't stress me out, but I'm saying it's another piece of the puzzle, or maybe...
I think if I'm in a hollow suite, I'm drinking real drink if I order a real drink.
See, look, all I'm saying
is... I'll get pretend
this
drink.
If the hologram gives it to you, then it's a pretend hologram.
Look, yeah. This line either helps clarify the issue or makes it more confusing. It obfuscates it, and I argue that it obfuscates it.
Mm.
Because... Like I said, it could either be Synthahol, but I think we've established it's not Synthahol because Synthahol can do something to you. He said this won't. So what I think is that when you drink hollow liquid, it just evaporates in your throat and just goes back into the energy source. That's what I think happens.
It's not real.
I don't think there's any reason to restrict ourselves to only that scenario. I think that's a perfectly reasonable scenario. I think it's also perfectly reasonable
to think
that if you're in a hologram of Paris in a cafe, you want coffee and you can drink an actual coffee from the that's replicated. I think it's
that's what you would
but
think.
But no, he specifically says
you're implying that apply to every single scenario, and I think
that's
ridiculous.
Because he's saying, because Odo's worried about alcohol, he's like, you're in a holosuite, remember? As if like, you must have forgot that you're in a holosuite, because everyone knows in a holosuite, the booze doesn't have alcohol. The way he said it implies if you are in a hollow suite, you are not drinking booze. That is the logical line.
And you feel free to, that's your perspective.
I don't see how anyone, that's not a perspective. That's called, no, it's not. That's logic. You are in a holodeck, therefore there is no booze in the alcohol. That is logic.
I think the preponderance of evidence.
There are math.
From the other television programs.
When you're a math major, you take classes in logic where there's if this, then that. That's how computer programs work. It's not a perspective with a computer program. If this, then that. If this, then that.
And I think you will find...
If you're in a hollow suite, then you are not drinking booze.
I think you will find that even under the rules of formal logic...
Yes, you
formal
can...
Formal constrained logic...
Okay.
That there's nothing about the scenario described that renders it exclusive. It does not necessarily
render it
exclusive. It does.
You're in a hollow suite. If you're in a hollow suite... You're in a hollow suite, therefore your booze has
no
alcohol.
And also,
if he said,
I live in reality, which sometimes does not comport with constrained logical equations.
What is that supposed to mean? Logic does have place in reality because that's how computer programs are written, which we use every day.
I'm going to, you can feel free to call me silly and foolish, but in my head canon, if I go into a holodeck, I can drink a cup of coffee. I can drink a glass of beer, even if it's a fake beer, and it'll feel like such. It'll be as it'll be like I'm getting it out of the replicator. There's no reason for that not to be the case.
But that's not what the words say.
I'm ignoring the creepy demon guy who is manipulating everybody.
He says
a one-off thing is going to completely ruin the concept of all holodecks.
The only way,
and make it basically a pointless exercise.
The only way I would believe you is that he's lying. That's another possibility. Now, if he had said, you're in my hollow suite, remember, therefore there's no booze, that would open it up to say, well, other hollow suites could have it, but my program doesn't have it.
See, I know there's a few Star Trek writers that listen to us, and this is a good example. You have to be very careful with how you phrase these things, because you cause all sorts of consternation and conflict
I'm gonna say, like, I'm not like worried about this line. It doesn't keep me up at night. To me the Synthahol thing is fascinating, and I'm trying to piece that puzzle together, like, which state do the Simpsons live in? If you watch a bunch of episodes, they eliminate them. Is that what they settled on, was Kentucky?
I think so.
Okay.
That was way later.
Well, there you go.
All right. Well, we only have a little bit of time left, and so we want to make sure that we cover any other important topics related to this, as well as any other little Christmas bonus fun times. The way Odo said "cool,"
yeah,
really, that was really weird.
I, I thought that was weird too.
It made me uncomfortable.
It's cool.
Cool.
The whole scene between Kira and Dax talking about like moment of clarity. I thought that scene was really bizarre too.
Oh, it was kind of strange.
Okay, so here's the thing.
That was where this was from.
That's amazing.
Because Kira was like, Dax was like, you had another moment of clarity. She's like, 2 in 2 days. And she's like, that's amazing. As if there was like a real thing they were talking about.
That was
about.
Where the English
they
major.
They were getting all excited about it.
The English major in me perked up because I was like, you know what that is? That's some writers being like, fuck. Fuck, we have to somehow make Kira fall in love with Odo in 2 minutes. Yeah. We have to create a scenario, a plausible scenario, where she decides that it's reasonable for her, reasonable and not in any way creepy, for her to have been manipulated into caring for Odo. Right. Even though we don't buy it yet, we totally buy Odo being into Kira because it's been something that's built up over seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Kira has never shown anything other than having a professional friendship relationship with Odo
and,
up to
and
this
did
point.
You notice that Dax knew about, like, when Dax was like, poor Odo, and Bashir was like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So somehow Dax knew because she's lived, like, 7 lifetimes. Yeah, she probably figured it out.
Well, and Dax talks with Kira all the time.
Yeah,
but you said Kira, talk, yeah. You said Kira hadn't given any clue, though, that she was into Odo.
No, because she wasn't. Because she was not into Odo until this point. My point is that the writers did not build into multiple arcs over seasons getting closer to him in a romantic
sense. Why I was saying it was confusing when she was like, poor Odo, Kira was hanging out with Shikar. That was before she confided in Kira in that episode. So,
no, she already knew. Kira and Dax talk all the time.
You just said there was no... Kira didn't like Odo before this episode.
Yeah, she didn't.
Right.
I don't know what you're confused by.
I'm not confused. What I'm saying is you just said that Kira did not like Odo before this episode. Okay. Yeah. In the same episode, Dax lamented the...
Dax was already aware of Odo liking Kira. This was not new. Kira knew that Odo liked her.
You said it was because Odo and... You said it was because Dax and Kira talked. You must... like.
Yes, because Kira found out from Odo previously because of the... There was the whole time travel planet weirdness. Kira, a year before, learned that Odo was in love with her. And she straight up was like, I'm sorry, yeah, right, I'm just a friend. Yeah. So Kira's been already living with... Kira already knows Odo's into her and already said that she's like not into him romantically. Like that's...
My thoughts exactly.
Yeah. Dax is also aware of that. She was around at those events. So like she's aware of that. It was a funny joke that Bashir is naive, continues to be naive in the sixth season. He's like, wait, what?
It's love, baby. Nothing better than that.
Love is the answer.
That's right.
So the moment of clarity, you were saying the writers
so
were
the
trying
writers
to make...
made that, they were like, we need a plausible thing for her to say, and they came up with this moment of clarity nonsense.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I didn't thought of it from that perspective. The perspective I thought of it was like, basically, I think... was more the end result of like, it's bizarre to have this conversation about moment of clarity as if like, cause Dax was all dramatic. Like I've only had like a couple in 7 lifetimes. And she's like, you had 2 in 2 days. That's crazy. Yeah. It's like,
it's sitcom.
But it should almost have been a joke. Like when Kira was like 2 in 2 days, that should have been a joke. But instead Dax treated it as if it was like a miracle when really the proper response for Dax should have been, ha ha, that's so funny. Yeah. You know, ha ha, ha ha.
You're doing your funny.
Classic Will Smith.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Odo Kira. Ha ha.
Yes. So it was an implausible shift.
Yeah.
They're great actors. Shift. They clearly have great chemistry. It was also a very awkward kiss because it was cute that what they were doing was they were doing the classic film noir banter where it starts out as antagonistic banter, culminating in a passionate kiss.
Right.
The banter part was great. The kiss part, not so much. I don't know. The brightly lit stage, the height differences, Odo's face. I don't know. There was something awkward about the whole thing.
But I did like when Odo like jumped in. He's like, why do we even need to have dinner? Why don't we just kiss now? Like that was, I don't know. That part worked. But yeah, the actual kiss was weird. And did you notice there was some alien standing next to him? He all put his hand on his chest. Then he put his hand on someone else's shoulder and was like, aw.
Yeah.
But that's when
some Ferengi guy like dropped his pad.
Yeah. It was
That was when Quark gave that look. That was a really cool. I like that look.
It was the conclusion to a sweet, silly, sinister, evil, horrifying melange of different, because they were pulling from film noir and from funny sitcoms, you know, 60s sitcoms, 80s sitcoms. They were like putting everything together in a goofy way, along with the sci-fi aspect. Again, think to yourself, if this everything in this episode happens exactly as it did, except Vic Fontaine is not a hologram, but he's just some guy.
Hologram.
If he's just some fella, then
space creep.
Some space creep. You're going to be like, yeah, this is a creepy dude. Why do we let him into the station? What's going
You're
on?
You're a hologram
here?
Too?
Holograms.
It's wild. So
yeah, it would be a security breach. Yes. It's like, Odo, what are you doing?
And then there was
speaking of security breach. Talk about Vic was talking to Odo through his like professional com. I mean, we did talk
exactly.
About,
yeah.
But we did talk about in Q Who how like a Guinan seemed to have carte blanche.
Yeah,
carte blanche.
It's French. Earth language. It's a language of love.
But it's like it's like a different vibe on that show. Like on Deep Space Nine, like Odo is supposed to be the guy, and he's all right. Stern, but he keeps having all these fucking breaches. Like,
yeah, right. And he's just talking to him through the communication into his office seemed unlikely.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. There was something I was gonna say.
No,
What were you just
saying?
You
don't say things. Well, I was gonna say that early on in the episode, there's that cute scene. It's very interesting how it's directed, where Bashir and O'Brien are talking about Vic.
Chief O'Brien.
And Bashir is talking about how Vic helped him with some advice about dating Ensign. What's your name?
Are you telling me that you discussed your love life with a hologram?
Holograms?
And in the background, Odo is blurry, out of focus in the background, just spying on these guys. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm gonna spy on these guys and learn their secrets about their love life. And then, of course, that's what prompts him to go and try to use the Vic Fontaine program. And of course, not to start a whole new thing, Dan, but it is peculiar that you can only run one version, one copy of a hologram,
right?
The holodeck program instead of like multiple,
holograms,
multiple ones.
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah,
interesting constraints.
Bashir looked all bummed out, like when Quark was like, "You can't go in there; it's being used," and they're all filled up. He's like, "Oh, that's too bad." They should be able to do multiple Vic Fontaines. I don't know why he had to keep it a secret from him. You make a program, you only have one copy. What if you break it? What if you break it? It's done. You know, that's not how the future works.
But then you'd have all those Vic Fontaines running around the station.
Oh, yeah. Causing all sorts of mayhem.
And, you know, this is the introduction to Vic Fontaine. And it's funny that it comes this late in the series, because he rapidly becomes a sort of semi-regular fixture on the station. He's divisive among fans. Mm. Some fans are big fans. Mm. Some fans are not such big fans of Vic Fontaine.
Well, this episode, I don't know this for a fact that people say this, but I imagine there's people who like saw, for example, the Strange New World episodes with the musical or something, and were like, "Fuck this! This isn't Star Trek."
This was definitely doing something different, something new and clever.
So, my point I was going to make is that the Strange New Worlds was doing something new and different with that whole musical idea, but like this sort of like corny, cheesy kind of like episode, like this a similar. I mean, this episode, His Way, is similar in a lot of ways. You know, like, so it's not like this new thing that Star Trek gets, these cheesy, lovey, weird episodes.
No.
You know,
I mean, TOS was doing stuff like this too.
Yeah. So I mean, if anyone sees the new Star Trek and sees something that looks unprofessional and silly or whatever, like look at. I mean, DS9's a pretty serious show, and like His Way is a pretty silly episode.
Oh yeah, you know? Deep Space Nine was able to put in some good silliness, good humor. Sometimes better, sometimes worse. This episode is overall enjoyable. I think in some ways it's fairly classic. Big things happen, right? We learn that Kira is no longer with Shakar. She starts dating Odo. It's something he's been pining.
She digs Shakar.
He's been pining for Kira for quite some time. So, hey, you know, that's...
Most of the jokes are on Voyager.
I don't know how to take that.
It's just a thing I said.
That doctor, he's such a joke. Ensign Harry Kim, never promoted. What a joke.
I know.
What a joke.
On Odo's date with Kira, Vic was trying to serve him some Dom Perignon. 1955, some oysters Rockefeller, to follow by Caesar salad, Chateaubriand, and Cherry's Jubilee. Do you think that's all sex food? I know that oysters are supposed to be sex food, right? And champagne is like sex food.
Stereotypical French food.
Yeah, but oysters Rockefeller, I don't know if those
not,
are
not
the
sex
food the Rockefeller, compared to just straight up oysters.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I was thinking about that.
To be sexy, it's got to be all salty and gross.
Yeah, you know, and slimy. Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah. Squishy. The slimier the better.
Yeah.
In terms of sexiness.
Oysters Rockefeller, you can hardly tell you're eating an oyster.
Yeah. It's all dressed up.
It was weird to see them casually lighting up a cigarette.
That's lots of smoking.
Yeah, and it's funny how quickly it was that smoking used to be everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, and it was very common. And now, like,
I used to smoke everywhere.
Yeah, I did too. You know, and I remember smelling cigarettes now is like shocking.
I know,
you
know? It's like somebody's weird. Smoking. Where is it?
Yeah, right.
Let me go stand near that person.
So and seeing it on TV used to be all the time too, and you know, I don't miss that cigarette smoke situation. No. You know, like,
yeah.
It's amazing how nice things can smell, but like, it's nice to be able to smell other things
now on the hologram.
And to be able
now,
do you think
it smelled in the hologram? Do you think Odo was smelling Kira's cigarette?
Holograms.
Or Lola's cigarette?
Humans have a smell. Bajorans probably have a smell.
Well, I'm talking about the cigarettes. The hollow cigarettes.
Can Odo smell things? He probably smells through his skin or something.
he's like a frog. He breathes.
And this brings up a memory. I could have been making this up, swear that I saw a high school performance of Pirates of Penzance, and no, it was Greece.
I am the very model of a modern major general.
Which high school?
Oh,
I don't remember which high school, but I was so young.
Greece.
Oh.
It was Greece, and I swear one of the actors.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
This is the second half of the show where
like,
it's getting
does
more
he
chaotic.
Have a car?
I swear I remember one of the high school actors having a lit cigarette as a prop. I swear I remember that.
I believe
that.
It. I
what
believe
was the
it.
80s,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that would have been the 80s.
It was the 80s or 90s. We were in high school in
I wasn't in high school. I saw a high school performance and I was like a wee lad.
Oh, yeah. A wee lad. Yeah. Watching, just but you were young, but you wanted
they
to make sure
can't take that away
you wanted to make sure
me.
To tour all the local high school establishments.
No, I went to a lot of musicals growing up because my brother was in a lot of musicals.
Right.
Speaking of Odo's skin, at the end when Dax watches Odo and Kira make out, she gives three looks. One is like, huh? And then she's like, huh? And then she's like, she was thinking about Odo.
She was always doing that stuff.
Yeah, she was thinking about what Odo can do. You know what I mean? Like, Odo can do some stuff.
Right.
Odo can do some stuff.
You know?
All right. I think that wraps it up pretty much for this episode. It's fun. It's weird, sinister, and entertaining. all those things.
Odo can do some stuff.
DJ's Night was often wild like that. Now,
send in your comments.
Before we get to the end matter, I did want to play one more. There was one more also by John C. Worsley of these Christmas fun times.
Is it the best of Worsley?
Well, there's the best of times, there's the worst of times. We'll find out right now. You tell me what you think.
You know, Seven and Neelix,
Alana
and Janeway,
Harriet
and
Paris,
the Doctor,
Chakotay.
Do you recall the most logical crewman of all?
Tuvok.
The vessel's Vulcan. At a Vulcan gate.
Kalto.
Tuvok.
You ever
the
saw
vessel's
it,
Vulcan.
You would even see glow.
All I can think of is that.
All the other crewmen.
That, like, Mary Dogmas album or whatever. You know, where the dogs bark. Yeah.
Never let Tuvok run holiday programs. And one coffee.
Weapons.
Jingle Cats.
Jingle Cats, thank you.
And how the crewmen locked in.
As they shouted out. Coffee first.
Sorry. Why was it so loud? That's so sad. That
would be Tuvok.
The vessel's bulk.
That upset me.
I am dance all cringing over the corner.
I'm really sorry about that.
What'd you do?
I hit a button and it was loud, so I tried to turn it down, and instead I made it louder.
The bells toll for you, Dan. They toll for you, and they toll for all our friends around the world this December 25th. Because you're all listening to the episode on the day it launched. I know you are. You're good, dutiful fans.
You said duty.
Dutiful.
You've downloaded the episode. You've huddled, you've scuttled away from your family. if you are celebrating Christmas with your family, you've not even bothered opening your presents
yet. You've been visited by three ghosts in the night.
You said, I don't have time for presents. I've got to go listen to It's Got Starcher.
You're going to look like a Clyde.
You're hiding in the guest room.
You make it sound like I'm a hologram.
There's loud holograms? Going on outside for far too long.
It would be difficult for you.
Why would the bells be going
on
for that long? That's crazy.
If they're like testing the bells.
Generator.
Is this a classic case of testing the bells? You know what I'm talking about, Dan? Have you ever had to deal with that?
Man, I feel bad.
I really test my bells.
I tested all of our bells by that like little sound snafu. I was trying to turn it down and I turned it all the way up.
Yes, I know, Dan. We were there.
You want to play it again and try it again?
I thought it was off and I turned it on, but it was really on and I turned it off.
No. That couldn't have worked out better. That was great.
I know.
That was great. Okay. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. This is episode 220.
Now, goodbye.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
There was one musical hit that was kind of musical bit.
I figured there'd be one more thing before we got to the social media. And
I thought this is a transition music, and it goes from three.
It goes
to
something like this.
Three parts. Listen to them.
Mystical. Oh, get that little jazzy bit.
It went from
Jay Chataway.
Hey, Dollface.
You, sir, are a madman.
That was that. It went from DS9 to like Karate Kid to Vic Fontaine.
That was pretty wild.
Yeah. That was.
I enjoyed that.
Maybe we should end on a Christmas tune or something.
That boldly went.
Oh, no, we don't have any more Christmas tunes. Oh. We're just going to end on a good old classic, Back Matter.
Son of a bitch.
Back Matter, which means something different in the podcasting world than it does in the pornography world. thank you for listening. We direct you to our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com, for all your It's Got Star Trek needs. Got links and stuff over there. You can organize by series or topic, etc.
You mean the adventures of?
Of what?
Links?
No.
That's not what he said.
It's not at all what I said.
Did you remember the tuxedo scene where Odo turned into a tuxedo?
Yeah, I mentioned that.
You mentioned that? Yeah. How did I miss that?
Nobody was paying attention.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jesse. You want to mention it again?
He can make himself appear as a man in a tuxedo.
Okay,
just like he was a hologram, but he's just a shapeshifter.
Holograms?
Yeah, but like that scene, if you watch that scene, it's so weird, like the way they do the special effects, because his head's like all like floating around weird. Yeah. And then does some hand movements. And at the end, when he goes like,
whatever makes you happy,
he does some finger guns to the sky too. Yeah. I would be remiss if I didn't mention how weird that scene looked.
This is a weird episode, but sort of.
Of the podcast or the show of DJ's Night?
Both.
If you'd like to write in with a comment or question or telling us how weird this particular episode of the podcast has been.
Play a little tongo.
As we explained already, Jesse and I accidentally made Sazerac. So
play a little tongo.
It actually explains things.
But hey, Jesse, do you want to
play a little tongo?
You can write us in at feedback@itscottstartrek.com.
Wonderful.
You can also send us a voicemail or voice comment or audio comment, however you want, whatever term of art you prefer.
Great.
A complaint.
And you can either do that by recording your own thing and sending it in via MP3,
Audible,
Wave, whatever.
Complaint.
Or you can go to www.discostartrek.com/record and record up to 90 seconds of audio via that mechanism.
You're terrific.
And we will incorporate it into the show.
And if it takes longer than that, it's not the hell with you.
No, it'll just cut you off, or you can record your own using your own recording.
He's good.
Yeah, you can always do that, because there's so many other ways to do that.
We are also on all the social media, pretty much. Not all of it. That's an overstatement. Dan's going to yell at me if I provide inaccurate information.
What the fuck was that supposed to mean?
Because we're not on TikTok. I can't say we're on all
the
social media.
Wait, what do you mean I'm going to get all over your case about it?
Because you're right. You're particular about being accurate. And I don't
is this,
want to
is this
overstate.
A throwback to the Holosuite booze
no,
discussion?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all.
Okay.
Interesting. You interpreted it that way.
I think you guys were both right on that.
Thanks, Jesse.
I mean,
This guy, classic.
That's a you know, that's a discussion for our special page.
Our special page.
You mean the Patreon?
I'm sorry, the Patreon, yes.
Yeah. It'll look like a Clyde.
The concept of a Patreon.
Yeah. All right.
You got about as much personality as an icicle.
Social media at It's Got Star Trek. If you type in at It's Got Star Trek, then we're there. If we're
if nothing comes up,
then we're not on that social media. But we're on most of them, Blue Sky and Twitter. And
if we're not there, we're not there.
YouTube is another good place. Lots of people listen on YouTube.
Oh, what about this line?
You're crazy about the broad, but you're afraid to do anything about it.
Crazy about the broad.
Right.
You know.
Then, he was talking to O'Brien about
hey, doll face.
He's like saying doll face.
Hey, doll face.
And then he tells Lola, he says like something, sweetheart. Vic goes, of course she's not cured. She's a hologram. And Lola's like, what? And he's like, sweetheart, please stay out of this. He's like saying, like, stay out of this, woman, is what kind of sounded like what he was saying.
Yeah, it's a weird misogynistic patriarchal show.
Yeah, it's an episode. He was saying to O'Brien how it's okay to look as long as he doesn't touch.
Yeah, right. That was
like, I know you miss your wife, but
yeah, you can think about it. You can imagine.
There's a lot of classy dames.
Yeah, right.
All
right.
Well, we'll talk more about classy dames.
I don't think we will.
Skirts.
I think we'll avoid all of that. Quark told, he was like,
Odo, you're not even the most lovable person in this sector. Yeah. It's like, that's like kind of difficult to be the most lovable person in a fucking sector.
Well, they're on a space station with thousands of people.
Yeah, and he's talking about the sector. He's saying like, you suck. You're not even the most lovable person in the sector. It's like, well, so fuck you.
He lies. He loves that guy. Come on. He's lying.
Well, I mean, it's hard. I'm saying there's only one lovable person in the sector, and the sector is made up of millions
and
of people.
And it's just Quark. I mean, come on.
Quark.
I'm saying, like, I don't think I'm the most lovable person in the sector, but I still think I'm pretty darn lovable.
I think you're very
I don't
lovable.
Think anybody would dispute that.
Oh, you guys.
All right. Write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Subject line, is Dan lovable? And then provide the answer.
Is he the most lovable guy in the parsec?
In the body of the email. The person who writes the most eloquent response will go on a date with Dan.
Bon appetit.
On a platonic date with Dan to a local park.
I'm good, Pally, but I'm not that good.
You can both stand around in the park.
It's got a Star Trek t-shirt.
Yeah, we'll give you a t-shirt, but we're not paying for airfare, so you got to make your own way here. All right, anyway, that's enough silliness for this week.
You get a bus ticket.
That will do it for us for Christmas Day. It will do it for us for 2023. We will see you next week, which happens to be the first day of the next year.
That great.
Granted, I mean, that's
amazing.
It's an arbitrary demarcation of the years.
But everybody goes along with
that. It's socially constructed.
Most people.
But there is meaning that is derived from that social construction.
That's unfortunate.
So, it's something. Anyway, next year. We'll talk to you next year.
So, suck on that.
Catch you later, baby.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Vic! You're terrific. Great.
Thanks, Doc.
Wonderful.
Very nice.
I know what you're thinking. He has pretty sweet pipes for a light bulb.
Light bulb?
That's what I am, right? Collection of photons or force fields? You know, your basic, heuristic, fully interactive hologram?
He knows he's a hologram?
Felix designed him that way. He thought it would give him the right attitude for the era.
If you're going to work Vegas in the 60s, you better know the score. Otherwise, you're going to look like a Clyde.
A Clyde?
A Harvey, you know.
Harvey?
A square. You know what a square is, right?
It's one side of a cube.
Well, I guess that answers my question.